Hello and welcome to Hockey From Across the Pond, hosted by Queen of the OHL and Master of Gifts, Caitlin Berry, and yours truly, Mark Reckham, founder of hashtag Liam Kirkwatch. On this show, we chat all things AHL, OHL, and a whole lot more, including a certain Liam Kirk, but we'll get to that later. If you're a new listener to the podcast, we offer you a very warm welcome. On today's episode, we'll catch up on all the latest news across the hockey world, continue our new OHL XYZ. God, I'm not from America, man. That's Caitlin's new series focusing on the OHL and the upcoming rookies on each of the teams. And we might check up on how Liam Kirk is doing at development camp. I'm not sure if we should bother, really. I mean, he's just some kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, who cares about Arizona, right? But before we get into all of that and my sarcasm and my slightly ill-tempered bad mood today, it's time to say hello, Caitlin. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good. It's been a weird week for me, but Kitchener Rangers played their first preseason game the other day and absolutely smashed it. So I'm in a good mood, and I've now got it into my head that that's the way things are going to continue for the entire season. It's going to be amazing.
What was the score?
Oh gosh, I can't remember. 5-2, I think.
That's not smashing it. Like, I expected like 10-2 or something.
Oh, yeah, not that much. But I'm still very happy.
Who are they playing?
Barry.
Yeah, well, Barry are rubbish, so. This is the kind of mood I'm in today.
That's fair.
So, okay, right, let's move on with the podcast. I'm not going to be doing a lot of talking today, which is probably a good thing, all things considered. Right. This is going to be a weird episode. I think I might have some hot takes at some point. So, there's only one piece of AHL news, and that is that the Toronto Marlies announced the hiring of Hannu Toivonen as the team's goaltending coach after they fired the other guy. We won't go into that. And they also hired Troy Paquette as the team's video coach. I'm guessing a lot of people would have heard of Hannu Toivonen. I'm guessing Caitlin probably hasn't, though. Have you?
No.
He did play in the NHL. He played for Boston, another team. Yeah, fairly decent career. He suffered with injuries, etc. I've no idea if this is a good hire or not. Troy Paquette, not really got any insight on that person either. So, yeah, I am a absolute font of knowledge when it comes to my AHL news this week. And that is it. That's literally all there was.
Wow.
Because at least it's something. But yeah, there's been, like, development camps have started, so teams have been tweeting about that. Obviously, we've had the single tickets go on sale for most AHL clubs now, and that's been a thing. And a lot of the clubs have also released their game promos, which are fun. They're worth a look. Like, if you've got an hour to, well, not even an hour, like 5 minutes to kill, go and check out AHL teams, and they're fun in quotation marks promos. The AHL is interesting in that regard, and clubs across the league like to have a different take on what should be a promo, what shouldn't. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, certain things work in different markets. That's just the way things go. Before I move on, Caitlin, check out the Charlotte Checkers. So go to their Twitter account, the Charlotte Checkers, and their latest jersey that they brought out. I forgot to mention this. On the subject of jerseys today, apparently.
Is it on their website or on
Twitter? Go to their Twitter feed and just scroll down. It won't be too far down. And tell me what you think of that.
Ooh, okay.
Thoughts?
It's sort of
going back to a joke that they played at one point. Yeah. And then they thought, actually, we're actually going to go and do this.
I think I like it. It does look like a coffee shop logo, though. Like, I'd prefer the bear, I think.
You prefer... I can't remember the name of the bloody bear. Oh, Chubby. Is it Chubby? Oh, God. I've got to have a look now. I can't remember.
Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, it is Chubby.
Chubby. With two Bs, right?
Yeah.
See? I do have knowledge stored. All I have in my head is this stupid, irrelevant...
font of AHL knowledge.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Maybe that should be a quiz I could do. Bring back the quiz and we can... bring up pictures of each AHL mascot and ask Caitlin to name them.
No.
That sounds like it would be fun to me. Maybe not for their listeners and maybe not for you, but it'd be fun for me anyway. I don't know. But yeah, you'd like the jersey or not?
Like, it's okay. I think I like it.
I think it's going to be one of those where...
It's very clean.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of clean. I'm not massively sold on the logo circle thing with Charlotte Checkers, but I like the little king.
It reminds me of Ottawa a bit too much, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just the first thing that came into my head when I saw it was Ottawa.
Yeah, but it's not a massive great, like, oh, on the bloody jersey.
No.
I think that, like, that's stupid, but there you go. So I don't really like when Belleville had that massive B on the front of their jersey.
Yeah, that was
like,
rubbish.
Just, you don't have to do that. I would honestly prefer, I'd really like, there was one or two jersey where they had the really cool Senators logo on it. Like, I think you could do that and have a really menacing, cool, sharp head of a, you know, I just think that, I can't remember what year it's from. I'm sure if you're a big hockey fan and you remember jerseys, that there's the one Ottawa logo that looks really cool, really good. And I say this, and I don't like Ottawa at all.
Whoa, their first logo was mental.
Yeah, like they've had
it's like three legs.
A varied...
and some, like, beaks.
Yes. There's been some interesting...
What is that?
What are you looking at? It's no help to me. It's no help to the listeners, Caitlin.
I'm sending you the picture now. The first logo. It's like three legs in a circle with, like,
do you know what that looks like? Beaks. That looks like the... Is it the Isle of Man? Their flag?
Oh, maybe.
Google the Isle of Man flag.
The one with the, like, the legs on it. Yeah. It looks like the Isle of Man.
It looks like that, but it looks like it's on fire.
It does. They've set the Isle of Man on fire.
The Isle of Man flag on... Yeah, it's really weird.
Anyway,
the Ottawa logo I was referring to that I think looks really cool and really works is the 97 to 2007 one. I think that looks sharp. I like the gold with the wreaths kind of going round. I think it looks cool. I like it. I like it better than than the one that followed it. It's better than the one they've got now. Why don't they go back to the one they had before? It just looks better. It's bolder, it's sharper, it's clean, it's good. It's what it is. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? They should go back to it.
We're going to spend this entire podcast talking about jerseys.
Anyway, that's enough about my dislike of certain jerseys and certain teams. And it's time for Caitlin to rescue this episode with some OHL news, of which I hope there isn't, like, tons and tons, because I need to go to bed at some point today.
Yeah, literally. It's pretty late. There's not, as many as last week, but there are still... There were quite a few signings this week because training camp's still going on. Players are still getting signed and impressing. And yeah, so Flint have signed one player this week, and that's Coulson Petra. They acquired him from the Windsor Spitfires in exchange for a 15th round pick in 2023, along with a conditional 6th round pick in 2023. So Coulson Petra was Windsor's 4th round 73rd overall pick in the 2020 OHL priority selection from the Richmond Hill Coyotes program. So obviously, Philip Firebirds wanted him. There's actually a few cases of that going on this week, but I think we'll get to that. London Knights have signed their first overall pick from the 2021 under-18 draft, which is Abakar Kazbikov, fantastic name. He played for the Vaughan Kings under-16 team during the 2019-20 season. He tallied 4 goals and 8 assists for 12 points in 21 games. And they have also signed their first round draft pick from the 2019 under-18 draft, and that's Jacob Chandler. Chandler was drafted 19th overall that year. He played the 2019-20 season for the London Nationals, where he tallied 14 goals and 22 assists for 36 points in 43 games. They have also signed their 15th round pick from the 2020 OHL draft, Nicholas Yearwood, who was drafted 299th overall. So Yearwood scored 10 goals and had 8 assists for 18 points during the 2019-20 season with the North York Rangers under-16 programme. The Saginaw Spirit, they have signed second-round pick Matthew Jovanovic, just going to say that. He was selected by the Spirit in the second round, 31st overall in the 2020 under-17 draft, which is just the normal draft. I don't know why this article specifies under-17. He appeared in 12 games during the 2020-21 season for Des Moines in the United States Hockey League. So they made a signing out of the USHL, which isn't super regular, but it happens sometimes that players will think that they want to go to the college route and go to United States or the USHL and end up back in the OHL. The one case I'm thinking of is Michael Vukojevic for the Kitchener Rangers. Anyway, Mississauga Steelheads have also made a signing in Stefan Forgione. He was originally selected by Mississauga in the 2021 OHL draft in the 5th round, 127th overall. Over the 2019-20 season, Forgione recorded 20 points, 13 goals, 17 assists in 29 games with the Vaughan Kings. Kings of Frontenacs have made some signings. They've signed Jackson Stewart and Gage Hayes. So Stewart was selected in the 4th round, 64th overall, in the 2020 OHL draft. And Hayes was selected by the Frontenacs in the 5th round, 85th overall of the 2020 draft as well. Sarnia Sting have signed 3 players, if I'm not mistaken. First of those is Nikita Tarasevich. He spent the 2020-21 season with the Omaha Lancers of the USHL. Through 11 games played with them, he had a goal and 4 assists for a total of 5 points. He was initially drafted by Sarnia with a 10th round pick in the 2019 OHL draft. And they have also signed Ryan Price and Joshua Vogelsberg. Ryan Price was selected in the 4th round of the 2020 draft. He was originally selected by the Barry Colts. That confused me for a second. But the Sting actually acquired the rights for him via a trade this August and have actually now signed the defenseman. And Joshua Vogelsberg was selected in the 13th round of the 2020 draft. He was chosen out of the Mississauga Reps under-16 team. Moving to Guelph now, they have signed goalie Jacob Oster. He was selected by Guelph in the 5th round, 92nd overall in the 2020 OHL draft. In the 2019-20 season, he had 15 wins, 6 losses and 1 shutout with the under-18 Kemptville 73 team. He ended the season with a 2.65 goals against average and 0.909 save percentage. They've also signed defencemen Jacob McRae and Zachary Sandu. McRae was selected by the Storm in the 4th round, 77th overall in the 2021 OHL draft. And Sandu was selected by the Storm in the 7th round, 122nd overall in the 2021 draft also. We're getting through this. We have a few teams to go though. Sioux Greyhounds have signed Ethan Montroy. He was a 3rd-round pick in 2021 OHL draft, and he last played during the 2019-20 season, where he actually captained the Eastern Ontario Wild under-15 team. In 28 regular season games played with them, he had 23 goals and 23 assists. Very even. That's nice. The Windsor Spitfires have signed Oliver Peer. He's actually an undrafted free agent. I always love these signings. He played for the Burlington Eagles under-16 team during the 18-19 season, where he had 18 points in 27 games played. And then during the 2019-20 season, he played for the Toronto Junior Canadiens under-18 team and appeared in 31 games for them while recording 22 points. Barry Colts now, and then one more signing after that, and then a little bit of NHL stuff. So Barry Colts have signed Matteo Caruso. He's a goaltender, He was drafted by the Colts 111th overall in the 2021 OHL draft. He played for the Burlington Eagles under 16 program in the SCTA, but saw limited game time during, obviously, the cancellation of the minor hockey season. They've also signed Ronick Jodoin. Don't know. He was drafted by the Colts 149th overall in the 8th round of the 2020 OHL draft. He played his 2019-20 season for the Cornwall Colts under-18 program, where he had 26 points in 45 games. And now we have an interesting one. It may have just been very interesting to me because I didn't see a lot of people talking about this. But there was a fairly cool trade this week between the Niagara Ice Dogs and the Oshawa Generals. If you remember, I think two podcasts ago when I was talking about the Oshawa Generals in the OHL XYZ segment, I mentioned that they hadn't signed their first pick in the 2021 OHL draft yet. That was Aiden Castle. And I was basically wondering what was going to happen and where he was going to land. And now we know where he's going to land. And that's the Niagara Ice Dogs, because they traded for him this week. So they traded for his rights, but, you know. So in exchange for the trade, the Ice Dogs have given the following picks over to Oshawa. And that's Peterborough's second pick in 2022, their own third round pick in 2022. A fourth round pick in 2022 and a fourth round pick in 2024. So a fair few picks in exchange, but I guess that's what happens when you trade a first round pick. If anyone's wondering and thinking of the Will Cooley situation from a few years ago where Peterborough had to trade his rights to Windsor because he didn't want to play for Peterborough, and there was like a ton of picks and everything in return. This is a bit different to that because Cooley was drafted inside the top 10 and Castle was drafted after the top 10. So there's not like a set amount of picks that you have to give up in exchange if they're not in the top 10, which makes sense. But Castle is still a very, very fantastic player.
So Kaylee, quick question.
Yeah.
So they've obviously acquired his rights. So is it, they've obviously spoken to the kid and he's going to sign for them. But is that legal? Because he wasn't technically their property at that point. So how does that situation resolve itself?
It was possibly a thing to do with... I'm guessing what happened was Castle made it known to Oshawa fairly early on that he didn't want to sign with them. And sometimes when that happens, they do signpost which teams they preferred to go to. Maybe they're closer to home or places like that. So maybe that happened and maybe that then got them in talks with Niagara, or maybe he wanted to go to Niagara and kind of...
But how does it get that far at the draft?
I don't know. It just does.
Bonkers. Thank you for clarifying that anyhow.
The OHL draft can get really weird sometimes. I know people are kind of angry right now because it does seem like a lot of the case that players can pick and choose where they go. I know that was one of the massive debates around the Cooley situation, but we really have no more information on this right now. But talking about them wanting to sign him, they actually did sign him yesterday. That's the Niagara Ice Dogs have signed Aiden Castle. And that's it for general signings. There's one cool NHL signing, and that's the Oshawa Generals. Ty Twilio has signed with the Edmonton Oilers. So he was the Oilers' fifth round selection, 126th overall in the 2020 NHL draft. He actually spent last year, because everything was shut down, on loan to HK 32 Liptovsky Mikulas in Slovakia. And also appeared in 19 games for them, registering 13 points along with 77 penalty minutes, which is quite a lot in 19 games. That was a hard name to say.
You butchered it, but
I know I did. That I was just doing it on anyway.
I'm not one to criticise, but I'm just saying it.
HK32 Liptovsky Mikulas.
I tell you what, send it to me and I'll have a go after you've done your segment.
Okay.
Here she goes, like she's live texting me now. Yeah, sorry. Right now. Sending it over.
So, last little bit before I finish up. Upon Tullio's return to North America after his stint in Slovakia, he signed an amateur tryout contract with the Bakersfield Condors in March. But before that, obviously, he was in the OHL with the Oshawa Generals. He plays a total of 122 games over two prior seasons and recorded 108 points, so did very well. And a little bit of cool information, he was actually named captain of the Oshawa Generals last week as he returns to the team for the 21-22 campaign. And that is it for OHL news, finally.
Okay, the name of that Slovakian hockey team is HK32 Liptovsky Mikulas.
Really? Okay.
That's what I'm going with anyway. It sounded better than what you said.
Yeah, no, it did, to be honest. If anyone knows Slovakian,
what is the likelihood of that, I asked myself.
And listens to us, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, please. Please tell us how bad we are pronouncing hockey team names from Europe.
Oh, no.
And elsewhere across the world. We are terrible. Okay, right. There's no rest for the wicked or Caitlin. And she's going to get straight into all the news in the world of hockey in the UK.
And there is quite a bit of it, as there seems to be, weirdly, this off-season. The first is a little bit of information about the inaugural coaching symposium that was held, I think, last week. So it brought over 80 coaches from all across the game together for presentations and discussions to start off the season. So just a little bit about some of the speakers. I'm not going to talk about all of them because that would take forever. Pete Russell obviously opened the day, talking about the sort of new approach and culture he wants to bring to the coaching space in the UK. Jonathan Phillips, GB men's captain, talked about the impact of coaches on his development. Solway Sharks and GB under 20 head coach Martin Grubb gave the coaches some ideas of working in small area games. And then we had Liam Kirk and Casey Trail, and they explained how coaches help them on their own journeys throughout the world of ice hockey. And then the most exciting thing, which I think was all anyone was actually waiting for, apart from maybe Liam Kirk, was Arizona Coyotes Chief of Hockey Development Officer Shane Doan joined the symposium. He spoke about the approach he takes to consistently perform at a high level, and how his coaches were part of that throughout his career.
I like Shane Doan. It's Mark Bell that I dislike.
Yes, it's Mark Bell we don't like. There were also speeches from Clifton Rottersley and Mohammed Ashraf. And there was a speech from the EIHA Technical Director for Netminding, Ewan King. And then New Jersey Devils Chief Scout Mark Dennehy also did a speech at the conference. So that's a ton of people with a ton of experience that they had in this conference. P. Russell, talking about the coaching symposium, said, "I was really excited about our move as an association to make the steps to provide the first online EIHA coaching clinic, and I was not disappointed. It was a great day for all. Our speakers did a great job in sharing their experiences and knowledge with the participants. Coaching days like this are a benefit to coaching of all ages and levels. It's a great way to get together with fellow coaches to learn and share with each other. Our aim is to create a sharing coaching environment to further move forward." So it seems like it was a great success. Little bit of Women's League news. A Division 1 and Under 16 fixtures have been confirmed for the coming season. So Division 1, like the men's NIHL, is split into North and South. Five clubs will contest the North title. Those are the Grimsby Wolves, Sheffield Shadows, Solway Sharks, Telford Wrecking Raiders, which is a great name, and then Whitley Bay. And the South section will feature seven teams, the Cardiff Comets, Coventry Phoenix, Oxford Midnight Stars, which is also a great name, Peterborough Phantoms Women, Solent Amazons, Streatham Storm, and Swindon Topcats.
Streatham should rename themselves to Streatham Ice Storm.
No, no they shouldn't.
Yes, they should. That would sound awesome.
Swindon Ice Topcats.
No, now you're just being silly. I think yes. Ice Storm would be good.
There's one of the under 16 team names I really like, actually, but we'll get to that in a second. So the under 16 girls competition is also split into North and South. Whitley Bay have now joined the North group alongside Kingston Diamonds, Manchester Storm, and Sheffield Shadows. In the South, Chelmsford IHA have joined the competition and will face off against Haringey, Ice Bees, and Swindon Top Kittens. I love it.
Swindon
like,
ice kittens.
no, Swindon Top Kittens,
But
because it's
imagine
like Top
kittens on
Cats.
ice.
Top Cats, Top Kittens.
Top cats.
I don't know why the men's team is the Wildcats and the women's team is the Top Cats. That's a bit. I don't know. The women are allowed to be aggressive? I don't know. I shouldn't editorialise. A little bit more women's hockey news. Josie Lamy has been named as the assistant coach of GB Under 16's women. She actually represented GB and England as a player and iced over 375 times for the Guildford Lightning. And in 2019, she began coaching with the England national team programme. There's a quote from her saying, "The female game has changed so much for the better since I first started playing. There are so many opportunities for girls today. It's exciting to be a part of it and see the talent we have coming through. I really find it inspiring to spend time with these young players and take pride that I have the privilege to be able to influence their development both on and off the ice." Ice Hockey UK National Development Head Coach Tony Hand is also excited about this appointment. He says, "Josie is perfect for this role. She had a fantastic career domestically in the UK and played for the national team. She also has vital coaching experience with the England national team programme, and I look forward to her working with the GB programme." Taking a little drink for a second because this next one is fairly long. So we've been talking about the Quest for Quebec things that have been going on in English ice hockey ever since the EIHA found out that it can send some teams to the Quebec hockey tournament. It came out this week just gone that there have been a few updates and a few changes in rules that may affect things slightly. So the first change that actually was announced by the tournament organisers over in Quebec concerns the requirements for all players to have received two COVID vaccinations in order to compete in the tournament. If people don't know, this is a huge issue in the UK because currently there is only talk of vaccinations for children aged 12 and over. There is no talk of vaccinations for children under that. And it says here the EIHA has no knowledge of when or indeed if COVID vaccinations are to be made available to children aged 12. No one knows yet. Given that the vaccination landscape and vaccine passport considerations appear to be changing on an almost daily basis, their plan is to continue to monitor developments and maintain their plan to attend the tournament, assuming there is sufficient support for the tournament from the community. So that may throw a wrench into things slightly. I know that Canada and America are a bit more lax about vaccinating younger children, but it's not something that's happened here in the UK. So, big question mark around that right now. The second change concerns the age limits for players, which is now being confirmed as being for 2008 and 2009 players only. So previously, the EIHA's plan was to select players born just in 2009. So with the tournament organisers extending the older limit to include players born in 2008, they believe that the right thing to do is to include 2008 born players. Obviously, that will have some impact on 2009 born players who had taken part in the test event last month. They say, however, it should be noted that nobody has actually been selected to the team, and arrangements have not so far been confirmed as they're still in planning stages. The EIHA now says that it is our current plan to establish a team of predominantly 2008 born players. And if the team makes a successful run to the Quebec tournament, then in 2023, the team will consist of predominantly 2009 players, and so on. They say, so given the change in age limit, we now wish to invite all EIHA players born in 2008 to make an expression of interest for taking part in the next selection event that will take place at NIC Nottingham on Sunday, the 19th of September 2021, commencing at 11 a.m. running until 8 p.m. So after that event, the coaching team will look to select a long list of players who would then be considered. And if the trip still has support and if it does go ahead, then it's intended to announce the team by the middle of October, with preparations commencing in early November, when the tournament organisers actually confirm that the event will happen and basically a go decision is made. There'll then be development events in November, December and January. They've also given a bit of information to do with what it would cost per player, although details still need to be finalised. They're saying now that it would be around the order of 1,750 per player, and there are 19 player places available apparently, and there will be 5 team staff members to supervise those players. So just a bit of information about it if it does actually go ahead. So if anyone, particularly 2008 born players, are considering going to this or want more information about this, send an email to quebec22@erha.co.uk. There's also more information on the EIHA website. Just go on the EIHA website and then click news and everything should be there. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird update. It obviously throws a bit of a wrench into some things, and it's going to be fairly sad for a lot of 2009 born players who really wanted a shot and thought that they might actually have a shot to go over and play in Quebec now that they're going to be taking predominantly 2008 born players. But hopefully it'll all go through anyway and their time will come. So yeah, that's the latest update on the quest for Quebec right now. That's kind of hard to say. Okay, a little bit more women's hockey news, and then we'll get to junior news, and then a little bit of a rule change. So there's basically a lot of teams right now looking for coaches. The first of those are Streatham in the women's NIHL. They say, taking full advantage of the longest off-season many of us have ever seen, Streatham Storm are looking to use their time wisely and expand their core team of coaches. So what they're looking for is an experienced coach to head up their elite squad. With elite Division 1 and development teams, there's a lot of opportunity for coaches with any level of experience to get stuck in and give it a try. If you feel like you may be right for the role of the head coach of the elite team, or if you're interested in coaching with them at any other level, email streathamstorm@googleemail.com for further information. If you're interested in being a junior hockey coach, the Cardiff Junior Devils are looking for Level 1 and Level 2 coaches to join for the next season. So Cardiff have a full programme of age group teams playing in the EIHA Junior League, so there's a lot of opportunity. If anyone's interested in that, contact nigel.price@cardiffjuniordevils.co.uk. As usual, if anyone wants those bit more information or those email addresses again, go on eiha.co.uk and everything is there. Now, there's been a little bit of a rule change, and as a result of that, the EIHA have changed some house rules following the IIHF's new unified rule book. So the IIHF have introduced several rule changes for the forthcoming season, and to ensure that the players and officials are ready to compete at both Elite League and international level, the EIHA will be adopting those rules for the forthcoming season. So any new rules requiring changes to the marking of the ice pads will not come into effect until the 2022-23 season, though, at the earliest, and then in consultation with the ice rink managers. If anyone wants a list of the new in-house rules, you can find that on EIHA. There's a quote from EIHA Director Barry Archer saying, "I would like to thank the Ice Hockey UK referee section for their commitment to get the game back playing and the work they have done to make this possible. Working together, we have been able to update the in-house rules with an eye to international competition and the continued development of our junior players and officials. Work will continue over the coming months to develop an online payment system for match officials. Oh, that's good. They're actually going to be paid online. Anyway, yeah, I think that's it for UK hockey news. Unfortunately, I haven't had an in-depth look at the rules yet, but if I do, you'll probably find out on Twitter if I have any opinions for that. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I was just having a look now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably one or two I think are really dumb, but I can't see anything right now.
The only thing I can remember is the goalie trapezoid thing.
Yeah, I think we've had a discussion about that before.
Yeah.
Oh, here's an interesting thing. Yeah? See, I don't think this is good. See, Rule 39, Abuse of Officials. Which was rule 39.5. There's no more match penalty for obscene gestures or physical abuse of officials.
That's not good. Be nice to your refs. And if you don't, you should get penalised for it.
So it's rule 39 and rule 40. 39.5 and 40.1. Yep, game misconduct penalty. No more match penalty for obscene gestures. Game misconduct penalty, no more match penalty for physical abuse of officials. I don't see how that's a good thing.
Yeah, no. Surely the rules should be getting stricter about things like that, not more lax.
Agreed. Agreed. boarding. There's no automatic 10-minute misconduct for boarding.
Oh, gosh. It's going backwards.
Checking from behind. 2 plus 10 is removed. Possible penalties. 5 plus GM, which is game misconduct, I think, or MP, match penalty. Don't know about that.
Yeah, don't know. It does seem like, surely we're meant to be getting more strict on things that could cause head injuries.
Or this, oh my life. The fighting's all changed as well. No changes for all levels except NIHL, SNL leagues and university varsity fixtures. Players who willingly participate in a fight, I'm not quite sure how you absolutely determine that, so-called willing combatants apparently, that's, I'm not making it up, will be penalised in line with all rules except for a game misconduct penalty, except whereby a player resists an official. But hang on, oh, that'll be alright if you resist an official, because that's just physical abuse, so...
Yeah.
So, willing combatants get major penalty only. Resisting an official gets a game misconduct penalty. An instigator or an initiator gets a minor penalty. And an aggressor gets a minor penalty.
Ooh.
So, what's the difference between being an aggressor and an instigator? Because if you're an aggressor or an instigator yeah. or a fighter, isn't it?
How do you... It's already hard enough to, a lot of the time, to determine instigator. How are you going to split up instigator and aggressor? Although, back on the theme of verbal abuse to a ref for a second, because I saw something today that I thought was interesting. Liam Stewart, the boy.
Yes, oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. saw a very interesting thing today. So he sat out of the Milton Keynes game, I think yesterday, and everyone was a little bit confused. And it turns out that he's sitting out because of a, was it 6-game ban?
Yes.
That he got over in New Zealand for, was it talking something to a ref? The way they worded it was really weird.
Yeah, it was basically... Yeah, they worded it like because of a chat he had with an official, he's got a 6-match suspension.
Yeah, it was worded really strange. Oh, I found it.
So, who knows what went on there?
Some of you have also noticed one member, a certain Disco Stew, is not icing. He's currently serving a 6-match ban following a, in quotes, a conversation with an official in New Zealand. Anyway, just thought that was relevant.
There we go. I'm sure if you want to look through the rules, you'll find stuff you don't like. I find there's a lot of changes. Headbutting. Here we go. Here's one. Attempt to headbutt will be a double minor penalty instead of a match penalty.
Huh? So they're basically making the rules more lenient.
Possible penalties are 2+2 or 5+ GM or an MP. So
I guess it means that they can judge.
Oh my life, Kenneth. Oh my life. This one's gonna send you through the roof. No. Rule 48, illegal check to the head.
Oh gosh.
No automatic 10-minute misconduct. Possible penalties, 2 minutes or match penalty.
Imagine a check to the head and only getting 2 minutes.
I shouldn't laugh, but you know it's gonna happen.
This is backwards. Why are we going backwards?
Do you think Tony Smith had anything to do with this?
I don't think so, but I also wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, should we leave that before we get into any more trouble?
Yeah.
Take from my last quote whatever you want to say, because basically I don't care. On the note of, I don't know. I don't even know.
You can try and do a segue then.
I was trying to do a segue, but I'm still looking at this rule and I'm like, really? Are we not trying to eliminate illegal checks to the head?
Literally.
And why is it called an illegal check to the head? Because there's no legal check to the head.
No, exactly.
That's what was going through my mind when I was trying to move on then. It's just like, oh, I don't understand anything. Although someone just said, if you score 30 runs in one game of baseball, you should automatically win the World Series. I can definitely get on with that.
I mean, the Jays are on their way there right now. Anyway.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we are both Jays fans.
Yeah.
So, shoot us. Anyway, enough about baseball. I'm all about hockey. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, it'd be great if you could give us a rating and a nice review. It'd help push us up the charts. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, please drop us a like and subscribe to the podcast. That would also be fantastic. We invite you to join us online on Facebook and Twitter. And if you enjoy the show, why not share the love online or tell a friend or family member who's into hockey. So that's the plug over with, and it's time for more Caitlin Talking. And this time it's the OHLXYZ segment of the podcast. And Caitlin is going to talk you through her favourite players to watch, rookie-wise and otherwise, for the upcoming season. And the three teams are Ottawa, Owen Sound, and the Peterborough Petes.
Yeah. So, the Ottawa 67s. I almost said Ottawa Senators then. Nope, Ottawa 67s. It's going to be an interesting year for them, just looking at their roster on paper. Because they've gone from having this incredibly stacked, incredibly experienced, fairly older-leaning team to having a very young team. Most of their players are 18 and under, apart from a select few now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust to this. Although junior hockey is cyclical, most teams go through this at some point. It's just been exacerbated because there was no season last year. That aside, though, they do have a lot of very fun players. The first one I want to talk about is Chris Barlas. He was their first round pick in the 2021 OHL draft, 12th overall. He was drafted out of the Navan Grads organization / the Ottawa Junior 67s, because he didn't actually play for the Navan Grads, I don't think. So in the Ottawa Junior 67s under 15 team, he had 51 points, that's 25 goals and 26 assists in 29 games. He's very creative, very calm and sort of composed player. He has the ability to kind of make his line mates better whenever he's on the ice. He's very smart, but he also has that skill set. He's really dangerous offensively. He was really highly regarded actually going into this year's draft as one of the top prospects coming out of the HEO area in the last few years. And he was just a dominant player in his major bantam year, as I've already read out. He could be, says Hockey Prospects when I was looking for information, they say he could be one of the most dominant players in his age group. So definitely a fun one for Ottawa going into next season. Hopefully he can adjust fairly quickly and just be a really good player for them. Another interesting player, I don't think I've talked about an import pick before. on this segment. So let's talk about an import pick. And that's Vincennes Rohrer. It's Swiss.
He's trying Why are you butchering
I don't know.
Names today?
It's Vincennes Rohrer.
Actually, message Rohrer. Me again with it, Caitlin, when you're talking. I'll see if I can do a better job.
I'm doing a really bad job.
You know it's bad today. When I'm pronouncing things better than you. Like, what the hell is going on?
I'm doing
on?
A very bad job. Anyway, he was drafted in the 2021 import draft in the first round, 27th overall. As I said, he's Swiss. He played for ZSC under 17 team, where he was actually the captain. He played 26 games for them and had 47 points with 28 goals and 19 assists. He also played a few games for the GCK Lions under 20 team out in Switzerland, where he had 7 points in 22 games. If anyone was interested, he actually played in that same program in Switzerland as Marco Rossi. Rohrer can play in many roles for the team. I don't know too much about him, but I had a little look. Speed is definitely an asset for him. He can be aggressive on the forecheck. He's really, really good playing in transition. But he's also a very well-rounded player. He can play physical. He's definitely willing to play physical. There's a quote from Brock Otten, who did a little bit of scouting on him at OHL Prospects, his blog. And he predicts that if his offensive skill set transfers well into the OHL, he could be a dynamic player in the league. So that's going to be a fun one to watch, definitely. I mean, they had a really good shot with Marco Rossi, so I'm guessing they're hoping this guy is going to be the next sort of Swiss sensation for them. And do you want to try pronouncing his name?
Yes. It's Vincennes Rohrer.
Rohrer. That's kind of similar to what I did.
It was nothing like what you said. Nothing like it. But we forgive you because you're brilliant, so...
I think that's the last of the difficult names for this week now.
Sure, I wouldn't jinx yourself too early.
I just had a look at the other players I'm talking about, and I think I know how to pronounce most of them.
Bob Smith?
Yeah, it's not that easy. The next player is Cameron Tolnai. So he is 2002 born, so he's actually now one of the oldest players on a team, as I said, mostly 18 and under players. He was drafted in 2018, in the 2018 draft, in the first round, 6th overall by Ottawa. And despite being drafted 6th overall, he never really put up huge numbers his first few years in the OHL. In his first year, he had 13 points in 56 games. In his second year, he had 22 points in 52 games. So not amazing, and definitely not the kind of progression that you'd want to see from obviously a second-year player in the league. I'm willing to propose that at least some of that, maybe not all of it, but at least some of it, is a consequence of just the sheer amount of older talent that was on two incredibly strong Ottawa teams those years. He kind of got pushed down the lineup as a consequence. Maybe wasn't given as many opportunities as he otherwise would have been. But now he's one of the oldest, one of the most experienced on the team. This is going to be his year to prove himself and try and put up some more numbers. This is the year to kind of show off his development, to take a much bigger role on the team and try and get seen by NHL teams. Ottawa have had, I think, one preseason game so far, and he had a goal in that game, one of the only goals for Ottawa. So it's looking promising. I know I keep getting yelled at for making predictions based on preseason things, but this is Tolnai's year to prove himself, and I feel like he can do it now he has more responsibility. That's going to be actually a theme with the older players that I talk about this week, in that this is their year to actually prove people wrong. But moving on to the Owen Sound attack. First player I want to talk about is Cedric Guindon. He was drafted by the Owen Sound attack in the 2020 OHL draft, 10th overall, out of the Rockland Nationals, where he had 59 points in 41 games, so did very well. I know this word gets thrown around a lot, but he is a dynamic player. Thrived in minor midget in any situation he was put in. Very good skating ability. Incredibly smart. He uses his intelligence to be a threat both as a playmaker and a scorer. And he just understands his role in the game incredibly well. And he just knows exactly what decision to make at all times, which I think can be rare, especially when you get to kind of the OHL level. Hockey Prospect call him a top six forward and potential leader for the team that takes him, which is the OSound Attack. So he's going to be a fun one to watch out for on this team, for sure. The next player I want to talk about is Colby Barlow. He was drafted in the 2021 draft, 8th overall, out of the Toronto Marlboros. In his under-15 year, he had 47 points in 34 games for the Marlboros. Just his puck control is something else. He's incredibly skilled, very fast, can get around defenders with ease. He's 6'1", too, so he's not small. He has good size, skates incredibly well given his height. Though he is one of those shoot-first forwards. Shot is definitely one of his best assets. I've heard it actually called by some people a pro-level shot, so it's very quick, very hard. If the attack put him in the right situations for him to develop, he could be a very dangerous scorer at the next level. I was reading some tweets by, I think it was Greg... Oh, I've forgotten the name of the person I was reading the tweets from. But there was a... he mentioned that attack head coach Greg Walters was watching a camp scrimmage and said about Barlow, he already shoots like a grown man. So make of that what you will. Caleb Lawrence, this is the final Owen Sound Attack player I want to talk about, was drafted in the 2019 draft, so he's a bit of an older player, second round, 42nd overall. In his rookie year in the league, he had 8 points in 39 games, so it wasn't amazing. He wasn't utilised that often, and obviously he wasn't drafted into the NHL. He didn't end up playing last year. So why am I talking about him? So anyone who followed me on Twitter throughout the 2019 season probably knows that Caleb Lawrence is a bit of like a subjective favourite for me. But I wanted to talk about him because I think the tools are 100% there. Yeah, so he kind of played himself onto my radar at the under-17 camp games in 2019. I think he had 4 goals and 3 assists in just 3 games. So he did very well. I think there was one game where he had a hat-trick and a shootout goal all in one game. He is a giant kid. He was listed originally at 6'5". I've been told that he's actually got taller in the year and a bit that the OHL was on pause. I think he's 6'6", 6'7" now. So that's insane. He's a pretty good skater for his size. He moves well. And in my opinion, I think he's really skilled. He competes hard. He uses his size to get the puck off others or to keep possession of the puck himself. He can beat goalies with skill, which he actually prefers, but he also has a really hard shot as well. And I think he's actually been invited to the Columbus Blue Jackets camp, if I'm not mistaken with that. So they obviously see some sort of potential in him past the numbers, which I'm very happy about. Greg Cohen, who is Ottawa Sound Sports reporter, no, Owen Sound Sports reporter, sorry, I can't speak. He tweeted, I think one of the biggest questions for most teams this year will be how will their pre-COVID 03, so the 2003 borns, fare now as 18-year-olds expected to carry shifts / lines? And I think that's actually one of the main questions I have for all teams this season too. I think it's very interesting when you have obviously 2 seasons of rookies coming in. Those are players you want to keep an eye on. But you also want to keep an eye on the people who were rookies before everything shut down, and now I've had 2 years of development and are coming in as now one of the oldest on the team and have maybe increased responsibility that they definitely didn't have their rookie year. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch, and I think Caleb Lawrence is kind of going to capitulate that for me. I think he's very, very good and he's definitely one to watch. And I'm kind of backing him as a re-entry to next year's draft, but we'll see. Moving on to the Peterborough Petes. There's one player that probably everyone guessed I was going to talk about, and that is Nick Lardis. He was drafted in the 2021 OHL draft, 6th overall by Peterborough, out of the Oakville Rangers, where he had, wait for it, 74 points in just 37 games at the under 15 level. That's 40 goals, 40 goals, and 34 assists in just 37 games. That's ridiculous. I know it's the under 15 level, but that is ridiculous. A very highly skilled offensive player, I think that goes without saying. One of the best skaters in that 2021 draft, if not the best. He's not the fastest kid out there. His agility and edge work really stands out. Just watching him skate, he reminds me a little bit of a Jamie Drysdale type just skating. Just how effortless it looks. He stops and starts with ease. He gets it to top speed really quickly. I find with a lot of these players who have that really smooth skating, it doesn't look sometimes like they're even on ice. It just looks like they're just moving so fluidly. So Lardis, he uses the skating to get himself into open areas. He has a really underrated finishing ability, in my opinion. Obviously, he scored 40 goals, but he's actually more known for his playmaking. He has great skill with the puck, great creativity. He can just drive offense for an entire line. I mentioned this before, but he was my favourite player out of the 2021 draft. And from everything I've heard from the Pete's camp so far, it'll probably take absolutely no time at all for him to get used to the level of play in the OHL. And he's, if you like those smaller, faster, incredibly fun players, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. So another player out of the Peets is Donovan McCoy. He was their 2020 OHL draft first round pick, 15th overall, out of the Quinte Red Devils organization, where he had 35 points in 35 games, which I like. He's a big, mobile, really calm defenseman. Very hard to beat. He can create scoring chances for his teammates. You can see from his fairly high points total for a defenseman. He plays with confidence. He can run a power play with ease. In the lead up to the 2020 draft, I actually saw him quoted as maybe the next best D-man in that draft after Ty Nelson, who obviously was drafted first overall, and Donovan McCoy was drafted 15th. So there's a potential here for Peterborough to have snagged an incredibly good player with the 15th overall pick. And if his sort of calm confidence transfers over to the OHL, I think he should have an immediate impact with the Peets, if even just for that sort of steady defensive presence on the back end. The last player I wanted to talk about is Ty Austin. So the Peterborough Peets are losing starting netminder Hunter Jones this year. Unfortunately, he's not coming back to the team. So their next most experienced goalie is Jones's backup for 2 years, Ty Austin. He is an older player on the team. He was drafted in 2018 by Peterborough. And the last 2 years as a backup, he's had okay numbers, but he hasn't had a ton of game time. He played just 17 games in 2019-20 season, and just 19 games the year before that in 2018-19. So it's going to be a huge test for him if, as I'm predicting, he gets the starter role. Just how he's going to cope with that increased load of games, not to mention the increased responsibility. His last year on the team, he had a 3.97 goals against average and a 0.871 save percentage. So, not amazing, but his play did earn him an amateur tryout with the Belleville Senators last year, although I don't think he actually played a game for them. So, as with some of the other players I've mentioned, this is going to be his year to prove himself, particularly as a starting goalie. And I think the fact that I've said this about a few players just highlights how crazy this year is going to be. It's going to be so much fun. I knew it was going to be a fun season going in, because particularly the 2 years of rookies going in, but it was only when I actually sit down and go through these teams for this segment and look at the players that I realised just how much, pretty much every single player is going to have something to prove this season. So it's going to be fun. I've already heard from some people who have been to the preseason games that it's a lot more physical than preseason usually is. So I am very much looking forward to it. And that is it for OHL XYZ this week. I think we only have another week or so left of this segment, maybe 2 weeks.
Well, you should know.
I know, I'm trying to picture it in my head. I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, it must be two. It must be two. Okay, I think I can't wait for us to make our predictions about the OHL because we're both going to be made to look incredibly dumb, probably.
It's literally, it could go any way.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. Anyway, I just, like, the internet is just... Before I get on to the next segment, the internet is just full of... Some of it's good, some of it's weird, some of it's bad, some of it's just delightfully funny. And I've just seen someone posted a TikTok video of this guy trying to chug sparkling water, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
If you haven't seen this, check it out. So he chugs his sparkling water. He then realises his mistake. You think he's going to throw up. He grabs his stomach, as you would. And then as he turns around to go and throw up, he smashes his head on the...
Yeah.
on the, I guess, the garage door or whatever it is.
Oh, I think the challenge he was trying to do is drink sparkling water, like chug sparkling water without burping, I think was what he was trying to do.
Without killing yourself, I think is...
Yeah, literally.
who are these
people? It's a very funny video if anyone hasn't seen it.
Who are these people, Caitlin, is what I want to know.
No idea.
They're just weirdos. Anyway, that means it's time for Liam Kirkwatch. Sorry, there was no good way to segue out of that. Guy chugging sparkling water into this. This has been a really random podcast, mainly due to my just state of mind right now, but never mind. Okay, Liam Kirk is at the Arizona Development Camp, and he's been killing it, but then... I did tell you all 1,007,000 times that he would. Anyway, so we do have a few bits of news. He did a couple of interviews and bits and pieces. And we kind of now know why. When we said he was in Arizona, he wasn't in Arizona. When Caitlin saw him on that boat, he wasn't in Arizona. He was in the Dominican Republic.
And
he was in the Dominican Republic because he needed to get a visa sorted out. And it was quicker because the backlog in the UK is redonkulous right now to get a visa into the US. So he went to the Dominican Republic because there was a shorter waiting time. And he still ended up being out there for 2 or 3 weeks waiting for his visa. So that's why he was out there. Apparently he was quoted as saying... The earliest visa appointment in England wasn't until March. Like, in case you thought I was over-egging the pudding, I was not. How can there be a backlog? Anyway, let's not go down that road. There were early appointments in the Dominican Republic, and him being the smart, intelligent young man that he is, that's what he did. So Kirky said... obviously he got training with a few of the other guys and he's been trying to acclimatise with the heat. And I'm getting these quotes from an article by Alex Kinkoff, who is a writer for the Arizona Coyotes, I think, on their website. This is on the NHL.com. He talks about the differences between... This is Kirk's third camp with Arizona as opposed to how he felt in his first, which is something he spoke to us about on the podcast, about how he can't think of the right term, but he was a bit overawed, I guess, by being at the main camp, etc., etc. So he talks about not having goals, just focus on the moment, focus on what you can do today, and just not getting too far ahead of yourself. Talks about his love, Caitlin. His two main interests outside of hockey are golf, and the second one, Caitlin, is cricket. So, Liam Kirk likes cricket. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But he does like video games. And he's got a thing about shoes. Apparently he likes nice shoes. There you go. But yeah, you can... If I remember, I'll put the link to that in the description if you want to check that out. And we'll move on to... Oh yeah, and apparently he's a big fan of Happy Gilmore, by the way. That's his favourite movie, Caitlin. Do you approve or not?
I've actually seen that. For all that, I haven't really seen a lot of sports movies or movies.
It must be a sign.
I didn't really enjoy it, but that says more about me and my taste of movies than anything else.
Oh, that's the podcast title. Caitlin hates Liam Kirk's favourite movie.
I mean, I don't hate it.
No, it's down. You've already said it now. You've already said it. So there was a piece on Liam by Craig Morgan, who works for PHNX, Phoenix Sports, I think is the name of the... Or Go Phoenix, I think is the name of that company. Craig has followed Liam's story since he was drafted. Spoken to him a few times, I think. And in this interview, it's actually not strictly an interview because he talks to a few other people about Liam. Talks to Jonathan Phillips. He talks to Liam's brother, Jonathan. He speaks to his girlfriend. He speaks to, I think, his dad. I can't remember. It's a really cute photo of Kirk. He's scoring his first goal at the age of 5, apparently. His brother provided the photo for that. I'm not sure if Liam is going to be too happy with that one. I don't want to sort of just take all the quotes out of this and spoil Craig's work, but you should check it out. I think I've retweeted it. There's a couple of things I want to pick up in this interview, though. Let's see if I can find it down here. They talk about him being like his celebrity status. See, I don't really buy the celebrity status per se, simply because hockey's a minor league sport. I mean, like, if you went out onto the street, Caitlin, how many people out of 100 would know who Liam Kirk is? Like, not zero. Many.
No.
I could be zero, right?
No one I talk to.
Like, if you went to Sheffield, it'd be different, probably.
Yeah.
If you went to any city that has an elite league team, it might be different. But in general, like, if 100 people where I live, it would be none. 100 people where you live, I think it would be zero.
Yeah, definitely. So,
I think I wanted to see, there was a quote, because he talks to, oh Lord, I can't think of his name now, but the his head coach in Peterborough, Rob Wilson. And he says about how Rob Wilson thinks this would be a good thing to encourage kids to play in the UK, etc., etc. Yeah, except for the fact, Rob, that there's no pathway for those kids to, you know, take the same route as Liam, unfortunately. But that's something we've... touched upon in great length before. We're not going to go back down that road, but yeah, it's a really interesting article. I think you can definitely get something out of it that perhaps you haven't heard or seen before, and is also featured on this interview is a interview that Go Phoenix or the Phoenix Coaches podcast, which is associated with this company. Where they talked to Liam about his time in the development camp, about his background and stuff. A lot of it's the same old stuff that we've heard before, etc., etc. But yeah, there's a link to the interview on. I think it's available on YouTube and, oh Lord, I think SoundCloud, I believe. Or Megaphone, I think that's another one of those. But yeah, you can definitely find it. You can find it on YouTube on this article. And again, we'll link that in the description to this podcast. The one thing it did highlight for me is that he's a Chelsea fan. Although he says, like, I'm not really a fan. I kind of follow the team because I used to like Didier Drogba, who was a very good player for Chelsea. Caitlin, just in case you're wondering who Didier Drogba was, very strong, physical centre forward. Think. Anyway, someone quote tweeted Liam, and the Phoenix Rising were involved in that. And the Phoenix Rising are the local football team or soccer team, obviously in Phoenix. And they said to Liam, Oh, it's great. You're a fan. Would you like to be a fan of us? Would you like a jersey? And Kirky responded, yes, I would. So Kirky will be getting a Phoenix Rising FC jersey.
Amazing.
And he said, cool. I've now got a North American football team.
Exactly,
quotation marks to support for, root for. So that's kind of cool. In general, the Arizona media have been taking a lot of interest in Liam at this development camp. That has been very noticeable, simply because I stalk, not his mentions, but I stalk what's going on in the internet world, just because some things you don't come across until you look for them. So yeah, there's definitely been a lot of interest in his story, unsurprisingly, I guess. And there's been a lot of positive things written about him. I know that Josh Doan, in one of his interviews, said how Liam was talking to him through camp and sort of being a leader. And I think that's another thing that's come out of this camp. Liam has really elevated himself to that kind of role. He's obviously, he's worn an A. He's captain GB U18s, who wore an A for the Peets. So we know he can be, like that's where you should put your phone on silent. we know he can be that leader. So that's really nice to hear as well. Yeah, it's really positive from Arizona media. There's something about the media I want to bring up in a minute, though, before I finish this bit. So as far as training camp goes, the development camp, that ends on Monday. There's going to be a black versus white scrimmage. I don't know if that's going to be streamed. I would not have thought so, but you never know. There might be clips. I don't know. That hasn't really... I've been a bit disappointed by the Coyotes' coverage of development camp so far in... Like, I was expecting a few more GIFs and bits and pieces, but there hasn't been, like, any of that. So that's been slightly disappointing. Maybe we'll get a little bit more when the rookie games start next week. And then into the weekend. So I'm hopeful for a bit more coverage for that. If you don't watch the games, hopefully we'll have a few more GIFs and bits and pieces. The main camp, Caelan, starts on September the 22nd. So we're not that far away.
Ooh.
It's a shoo-in that Liam will be part of that, but obviously there's no guarantees in life, but he should be a part of that. I'm certain he won't be overawed. In fact, I think he'll enjoy the challenge. And I think there's a few players on that roster who might be quietly surprised. They might be a bit stunned by this kid. from when the last time they saw him. He's not a kid anymore. He's a young man, but you know what I mean. But yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a really exciting week. The rookie games are going to be something to look forward to. And I'm positive that Liam will make a positive impression upon everyone. Before I kind of move on to the last point I want to make on Liam Kirkwatch this week, is there anything you wanted to bring up?
I don't think so. I haven't, unfortunately, had a ton of time to look at Kirky stuff this week. It's been a very weird week for me, but I am so happy. I've seen a lot of things saying that he's going into this as maybe one of the older prospects. He's been there 2 years now in prospect camp, so...
Yeah, but this is his first... Like, I get that, but on the same thing, they've only just signed him for crying out loud. It's not his fault.
No.
You know.
It's cute that he's being a leader, though.
You're not surprised by this, are
no,
you?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I just like it.
Well, there you go.
It was nice to hear.
There you go. Okay, the last thing I want to bring up. This might turn into a bit of a rant.
Ooh.
Quite possibly. There's been a lot written about Liam Kirk this week, and it's brilliant. Like, I love it. Like, this is not about us. This is about... We just try and bring everyone's attention to Liam and kind of push his story because it's really cool. And we want people to see how amazing he is. Like, that's why we do this. But of all the coverage and all the people that were spoken to, etc., 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 I was a bit disappointed that of the people that really covered his story, like Pete Spencer was quoted in a couple of things. But he's a guy who works for the BBC Sheffield, if you don't remember, who has followed Liam's career before we even followed Liam's sort of path. And I just felt that, okay, they had a couple of quotes from him, but they didn't really delve into the people that have followed his career. And I honest to God, Kaden, I'm not just saying this. I am stunned that of everything you've done to cover Liam, no one from Arizona media, like cottoned on and said, could we borrow you for a quote? Could we borrow you for a 5-minute interview? Could you give us your insight into Liam? You followed his OHL career, etc., etc. In fact, I'm actually quite pissed off about it, actually, because mainstream media overlooks and devalues the people that are doing the work at the ground level. No one's watched more of Liam Kirk in the OHL than you have. No one has. There isn't anyone alive who has. Apart from anyone who works for the Peets, obviously.
Maybe.
And it just pisses me off. You don't go to the ground roots. And it's, I'm not saying you're kind of being swept aside here, but it would have been, I really think you would have added something to one of these pieces. You would have added something to a podcast. You would have added something. And this goes beyond Liam as well. I think all these prospects from all these different countries and stuff, there are people who cover these guys and girls who do amazing work, but because they're not mainstream media as such, they're not valued as much. And it really annoys me. And I know no one from Arizona is listening to this, but if you are,
we're calling you out.
I'm not calling you out. I'm saying talk to Caitlin, is what I'm saying.
Or you. I think you should be in this as well. No. I know you're trying to be nice and modest, but
no,
you're involved in this too.
No, I'm not having it. They could, your stuff, in general, because GIFs, media clips, videos garner far more attention these days on social media than the written word. I've written more than you, probably. In fact, I know I have written
definitely
more than you.
Like 100%.
But we all know that media, like clips, videos, etc., as I just said, garners more attention online. That's a proven fact. And because they say if you want a tweet to be seen, add a clip or a photo to it. Like, you know, you garner far more coverage and more impressions that way. That's just a way of how Twitter and Facebook works. But yeah, you would have been easily the first point of call, Caitlin. Like, if they were looking. Like, if you put Liam Kirk, I don't know, OHL or Liam Kirk, like, you would come up before me on a Google search. Like, there's no two ways about it. So, I just wish they had, because it just would have added something else to the story. It would have added another layer, another little bit of insight into it, you know? Especially as you've spoken to him twice. You've actually met him in person. I know that was a long while ago. And I know that wasn't an interview or anything.
No.
But you've actually met him on a personal mm-hmm. level, which I do believe is, you know, I've never met him. You know, we might have spoken to him for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours now combined. But it's far more different when you meet someone. But yeah, that was the one thing that bugged me when I read everything that was written about him this week. No one reached out. They reached out to everyone else, reached out to his family. I just thought, I thought they missed a trick.
Yeah. If I can just bring up one little thing.
Sure.
But I discovered this week that although obviously we haven't been reached out to, and I mean,
there's
that's
no way
fine.
It's you.
I mean, I understand. Obviously, we're not the only ones out there who cover him, but the people in the know, the top people, are actually aware of what you and I do in regards to Kirky. And we had a nice tweet from Sean Rourke, who's the director of editorial for NHL.com, 41,000 followers. Someone tweeted him in regards to Kirky saying that he should check you and I and the podcast out. And he said, I do, but thanks for the reminder. Great stuff from those two. So people are aware of what we're doing.
Does he know? I don't know, Sean. I know he works for the NHL. Is he just being nice or does he actually? I don't know him well enough.
At this point, I'll take it.
I actually refollowed him because I used to follow him. And when I checked the tweet, I didn't even realize I'd been tagged in it. Like, my Twitter's a bit weird. Sometimes I don't get notifications, or it'll be on my phone and not on TweetDeck or vice versa. Don't ask, I know it's technical stuff. I don't know why that should be the case. So I re-followed him because, he's he does really good work for NHL.com. But yeah, that's just we'll take it, I guess. That's a bit weird though. That's a bit weird. I mean, he's never reached out unless he's
ever said it. If you're listening to this, Sean, somehow, thanks for the tweet.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's very kind.
Let us know if you're actually listening.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah, it's really kind. That's pretty cool.
A bit confusing, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know what to say really without sounding like a. But anyway, my point stands. Like,
yes, your point does stand.
You know, when it comes to his story, there's no one better qualified than you from what you've done the last 3 years. So, like I say, they've missed the trick. And I will continue to bang that drum through this off-season and into the season. Because there will be no one, Caitlin, who follows him this season closer than you and I do.
I think definitely you this season. You have made more commitment to staying up for each game than I have.
Right, I make you this guarantee, right? If I am able to do what I intend to do, which is up in the air right now, right, I guarantee you, even if I watch every game live and I tweet the absolute bejesus hell out of the Tucson Roadrunners and the Arizona Coyotes, and I write a game recap for every game focusing on Liam, gif every goal or every good play he makes, I guarantee you no one from that club or no one who writes about him will contact me. I guarantee it. That's just the way things are, unfortunately. And it's a shame. It's a shame. But like I say, they missed a trick by not just missing you and asking you. Especially like when you've had people message you out of the blue asking you about random hockey players in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been messaged by... tell me to shut up if I'm telling stuff I shouldn't be, but I know scouts have messaged you in the past about players and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems absolutely balmy to me that no one would ask your opinion on this guy. You know? And stop being modest. She's gone quiet now, look. That's a great trait for a podcast, that is.
I mean, ultimately, it's up to them who they ask. Do you and I perhaps have a bit more insight than most people? But
it's not about having more insight. It's about having a different insight. It's about having something to offer.
Yeah.
It's between us. We've probably written and tweeted and clipped more than anyone.
Yes. You know, definitely, but talked does that, about
does,
it more.
Does
than
that amount to anything? No. But we don't do it for recognition. I don't do it for recognition for myself. I do it, hopefully, to promote his story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that was just... I don't know. In layman's terms, it just really pissed me off, to be honest. It really pissed me off. And I think I said a little while ago on this podcast, maybe, I don't know, months and months ago, I said out of the two of us, you would be the one who would hopefully, possibly in some way, have a career in hockey. You're certainly the one who's best placed for that to happen.
Mm.
And I just wish that these opportunities would come along to help you.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, that's going down a different path. But, yeah, I won't continue on this path. But it is great to see so much media have interest in Liam. I just wish they would reach out to people. And it's not as if you are that difficult to find online.
Oh, no.
When it comes to...
I reply to most tweets as long as they're not mean.
Wow, you can't reply to many tweets.
I don't have too many mean tweets.
No?
Only a few.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay, should I move on?
Sure.
What do you think?
What's next?
I think I probably should. Do we have any listener questions?
I think we had one. I don't think it was a super serious one. Let me find it. By TD, at TD Fent.
Okay.
He says, do rinks smell nice at the start of the season?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Do you know what? I don't know if I've told this I don't know, it's not even a story, but if I've, if I've said this before, but the first thing I do when the first game I normally see of hockey when I go back to Canada is a Toronto Marlies game. Mm-hmm. The first thing I'll do is I'll be there relatively early, but I'll walk up to the plexiglass and just take in the smell of the fresh ice.
Ice, yeah.
There's nothing quite like that smell for me.
Literally.
I know that might sound batshit crazy to some people, but to me, I just love it.
100%. I 100% get it. When I used to go to Kitchener Rangers games, because of bus times and everything, I used to get there like 2 hours early.
Wow.
I used to get there super early. Also because I'm very eager. But I just used to sit there. I used to get a beer and I used to sit there when... like everything's quiet, there's maybe a few players around doing whatever they want to do, and it just smells like rink, just smells like ice, like fresh ice. It was the nicest thing.
Yeah, the smell it. The smell of fresh ice is just like just the best thing ever. It's just
This has got me very nostalgic to go to a hockey game again. Yeah. Now I need to get to one in person.
Yes. Will Cardiff be your nearest team from where you are?
Yep, and that's still 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Or God. Guildford, I think, is also 2 hours away. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but then you've got to go on the M25, so where's your driving that is. But, yeah. Oh, man, I miss it. I miss that smell. And it's weird, actually, because obviously there was hockey. There's a couple of preseason games in the Elite League this week, and there was the NIHL got underway this week. So, and people tweeting about hockey is kind of, you know, it's like, wow, I miss this so much.
Same.
I miss it. Oh, well. But, yes, it smells great.
Yeah. Short answer.
Fresh ice is the best. It's time to title the podcast, Caitlin Berry.
Oh, no.
What do you have written down for us this week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Let me think.
Well, I was just going to put the smell of fresh ice.
Oh. I like it. It's kind of... I know, I say that every time.
You do, sorry. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I know. No, it's kind of it's a good thing for like pre-season times as well. It seems like it's apt.
Okay, cool. We'll go with that then. I had written down what did I have written down? Hoops, Ottawa logo, and penalty minutes before that. So
sure.
The smell of fresh ice is much better than that, I feel. Right. That's the final, that's the title of the podcast over. That's a really short and sweet one this week. And it's time for the final buzzer. We're almost at the end of this podcast. Is there anything you'd like to talk about, hockey or otherwise?
Actually, yes, for once. And it's not what I've been ranting about on Twitter recently.
Okay, I'm going to get a drink. You carry
on. It's not about that. Wait, I need to find my own tweet. So... there's been a few little updates regarding OHL and CHL in general streaming. So if people don't know, they used to, the CHL used to use a system called Newlion or Newlion, which it was okay as a streaming system. It was cool for one because you could watch four games at once. You could split screen four games, which I enjoyed a lot. And for the most part, it worked when it wanted to, but the one downside against it, well, one of the many downsides against it, was the cost. So it actually used to cost just for a single season for maybe just the OHL, for example, just one of the leagues. It used to cost upwards of $350 Canadian, which I think is about 200 quid. That's 200 quid just for one regular season for one league. That's not including the playoffs. It was another 100 quid on top of that if you wanted the playoffs. So, a significant part of my, when I was a student, a significant part of my student loans and student budget used to go towards OHL streaming because it was just absolutely extortionate. But this season, they have a new provider. I'm not entirely sure the name of the provider itself, but the website they're now using now is watch.chl.ca. It's an entirely new website, entirely new designed, and I haven't actually watched any of the streams yet, but they did a lot of the WHL streams when there was that little WHL season. And they've been slowly adding up their subscription options. I've been checking every single day. None of this has actually been announced by any of the leagues yet, but it has been appearing up on this website now. So, and one incredibly exciting thing about it, at least for me, is that it's a lot cheaper than it used to be. So just the OHL in the past used to be about 200 quid or 350 Canadian dollars. Just the OHL now is about 110 Canadian dollars, which, if I do a quick conversion, is £62. So it's gone from £200 to £62 just for one league, which is amazing on its own. I would be absolutely stoked about that just because it means I don't have to budget around watching OHL games, which I have had to for the past few years. But the other extremely exciting thing is on the website, there appeared a CHL All Access Pass. There's not a lot of information about it because, as I said, I think they're just adding things just to get them on there. Nothing's been announced yet. But if I read it right, that means you would have access to all streams for the league for the season for all three leagues. So that's the OHL, the WHL, and the QMJHL. That alone is exciting, but it's also a lot, it's cheaper than the old just single league streams used to be. So if I do another quick conversion, sorry, I'm googling all of this. So it's 160 Canadian dollars, which works out to 91 quid to watch three leagues worth of hockey, which is incredible. So if anyone actually feels like keeping up with junior hockey this year and can spare a little bit of money, it's now been made so much more accessible if you want to keep up with junior hockey. Obviously, Liam Kirk's not aged out of the OHL, so there's not a lot of incentive for UK people now to get these streaming packages unless you're just interested. It's an incredible league. On the old system, all the games used to be archived if you do have the subscription, so you can watch them back. I assume that'll be the case here as well. So you don't have to stay up until 4 a.m. every morning if you're in the UK. And yeah, it's super exciting. I've also had it hinted to me by sort of team management and some league officials that there are a few exciting things going on behind the scenes regarding streaming, which is the reason why none of it has been announced yet, because they're still working out things. So some teams and some leagues may offer unique streaming packages or value-added packages or throw some things into their subscriptions. So if anyone got excited by my tweet earlier this week and immediately went to go buy an access pass, I would recommend just hold off for now until they announce it, because it seems like there's a lot of exciting things to come. And yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to bring up this week. But just because OHL and CHL streaming has been such a contentious topic over the past few years because of the price, and I know that there's a lot of people all around the hockey world really who are very excited about the lowered prices and the CHL All Access Pass. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. I might be able to watch three leagues worth of hockey.
All I can say is that they listen to us.
Yeah, literally. I need the streams.
I mean, it just makes so much sense. Like,
Rather than shelling out 300 quid for regular season and playoffs.
But most people are not going to do that, Kaylin. Most people are not
No, yeah,
mental like you or I.
most people are sane.
We're sort of our hearts overrule our heads when it comes to stuff like that,
Yeah.
so. Well done. Whoever made that decision at the OHL.
Yeah.
Well done for finally getting your heads out of your butts and making a decision which is ultimately going to impact all three CHL leagues in a positive way. You're going to get more fans.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and you'll get that money back because people will buy merchandise. People might say, do you know what? I really enjoyed this. When I next go to a trip, I'm going to go and watch a game in Canada or the US if I'm following the Seattle Thunderbirds.
I've already seen so many people say, who may not have otherwise bought anything, that they were going to buy the CHL All Access Pass.
Yep. I mean, so, imagine. Yeah. Right, let's just say it's probably not going to happen, but Alex Graham gets to play in the OHL next season, this season coming up.
Mm-hmm.
How many people from Sheffield might think, actually, do you know what? I might actually buy a package and watch 60, our boy.
60 quid for an entire season of Alex Graham games. That's legit.
Yeah.
Also, some teams might be putting out individual packages as well. So if you just wanted to watch Alex Graham games, might even be cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, it just makes so much sense.
I know, right? The old system was rubbish.
I am far from being an expert in business models, etc., etc., etc. But my word, it just makes so much frigging sense. This was a no-brainer. From the time that we went on a rant about this, whenever it was, Caitlin, and said, why don't they... I think I even said, why don't they just combine a three-league package? I remember saying it and not believing that they would actually do anything.
They listened.
But they listened. Well done. And I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic. So well done. This is can only be a positive thing for Canadian junior hockey. I didn't when I tweeted that, I didn't even get anybody like coming back at me, so I assume everyone agreed.
Yeah,
it's just makes so much sense.
About some people say, "Oh, wait until we can see what the quality is like," and yeah, I understand on one hand, but on the other hand, like the price reduction is ridiculous.
You're getting a bazillion games for 90 quid.
Like, I'll take a slight dip in quality to get games from all three leagues.
Right, right. Okay, let's lay this on the line, Caitlin. It's junior hockey. It's junior hockey rinks. In the AHL, there are some that's worse quality than others, depending on what the broadcast is.
Yeah.
So you just have to learn to live with that. But for that price, are you kidding me? Are you really going to whinge about...
quality.
You got to realise what you're paying for here. Mm-hmm. People expecting, like, I don't know, what's the latest thing after HD came in? I don't know what it is, but the latest in quality in like, watching TV. It's not going to be that. It's not, you know, you're watching stuff over the internet, which immediately means that...
Yeah, it's not going to be, like, 4K.
Yeah, 4K, that's what I was looking for. So... just lower your expectations slightly. This is
It never was 4K, even when it was 300 quid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, thank you.
There were some teams that were unwatchable.
Yes, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Yeah, this is great. I can't wait to see what it looks like. But for that money, man, you can't lose. You can't 100%. Lose. You can't lose. Okay, is that the only thing you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I think so.
You didn't want to bring up that Emma Raducanu won the US Open.
I didn't end up watching that, but that is awesome.
Yeah, so the only thing I want to say about... Well, there's two things I want to say about that. One, my word, she's an amazing young woman and what an inspirational role model she is. I wonder how many kids, young girls have looked at her and thought, I want to do that. I want to be like that. I wonder. Man, she's incredible. And the second thing I want to bring up is... So, she had to pull out of Wimbledon, Caitlin, because...
Oh, yeah.
With the stress thing,
hmm.
which I don't want to get into. So, obviously, not an ideal situation. And I'm sure everyone is aware of the prick whose name is Piers Morgan, who went on social media saying a load of things about how she should show greater mental strength, she's weak, blah, 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 blah. And now he's taking credit for the fact that she's won this and like, oh yeah, she's you know, she'd listen to all the criticism and she'd become a better this, that and the other. Oh God, I wish we could shoot Piers Morgan into the sun. Can we not slate people for caring about their mental health or having breakdowns and stuff? Can we not do that? Can we really just like move on? I credit her so much. She went from that where she must have felt like absolute crap and felt like she let people down, let her family down, let herself down, let her coaches down, let the crowd down, you know, let the British public down. That's how she must have felt, even though those things were not true. And then she's obviously worked on some things. She's obviously looked after herself. And she's come out and performed an absolute miracle. Come through the qualifiers. Didn't lose a set. I know this is a hockey podcast, but that's just incredible. I love it so much. It's so, so cool. I know it's tennis, I'm not hockey, but I still had to bring it up because she is absolutely amazing. And I only watched a little bit of it. I actually crashed out, but so pleased to wake up and watch the highlights today. Just an amazing achievement. And like you say, I wonder if in another 10 years we'll be watching another young lady in the UK winning something and going, yeah, that I watched that final she played in the US Open. I was inspired by that and I wanted to be a tennis player. Because that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Liam Kirk is such a big deal.
Exactly.
Sorry to always bring it back to him, but that's just the way we rock on this podcast, unfortunately. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I think I'm done, actually. I think, again, if you're part of Arizona media, you know where to find Caitlin Berry. At Caitlin Sports on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just search Liam Kirk goal GIF and you'll find Caitlin. It's not difficult. Just find her. Speak to her. She'll provide great insight and added interest into your article, podcast, whatever it is. There you go. That's my plug for Caitlin done. So we have been Caitlin Berry and Mark Rackham, and you've been listening to Hockey From Across the Pond. As always, a huge thank you to my patrons for your continued support. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at the same time, same place next week. Until then, stay safe, but more importantly, please be kind to one another. Take care. Goodbye.